What do we got? Uses of timers. Okay, so the sugya starts. Let's just do a few examples. So the classic example is that of a light, right? Light turning on and off, right? That's question A. Question B I heard raised on the shiur from Rav Dinsky. He just raised the question and kind of moved on. Let's say you have a bread maker, and you want very hot bread. Shabbos challah, Shabbos day, come home and have a challah right out of the oven. Can you put all of the ingredients in a bread maker and have it set to go off on Shabbos morning? Lisa says, no way. There's got to be a reason why not, right?
Okay.
It's cooking. Okay, so this is turning on a light. So you have to somehow figure out what would be a distinction between that. And then there might be some other ones, like every kid wants to know about turning on the TV on a timer. That's always a big one. Okay, so let's see what some of the issues are.
Playoffs of some sort.
Yes, yes, that would be considered Shas
Hachak. The TV is an easy one. It's just not Shabbos Dick.
It's not Shabbos Dick. All right, well, you never want to like kind of pin your hat on it's not Shabbos Dick, because that's not objective. That's a subjective thing. So you think it's not Shabbos Dick to watch the bowl games. Most 10th grade boys would say, what do you mean? That's the most Shabbos Dick thing in the world, to spend the day watching sports. So you kind of have to figure out a little bit, well, who defines it as not being Shabbos Dick, or maybe there's a technical reason why you shouldn't be able to do so. All right, so let's see. The issue of grumma plays a major role. We discussed that in the last year. We're going to try to avoid some of the details of grumma, getting into the weeds of that. But there's a specific issue.
We did a show at dinner time, so last year at dinner time, so we're up to speed.
Up to speed, okay. But there is an issue specifically with regards to malachos happening on Shabbos with your things. So that issue is discussed early on in the Sechel Shabbos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So the Beis Shammai Omer, Me'in Shorin Dayo V'Simanim V'Karshinim El Kadeshi Yeshurim V'Od Yom. That you're not allowed to soak ink dyes. Here it's translated as alkaline, and the article translates it as vetch. You can't soak those things in order to in dyeing material. El Kadeshi Yeshurim V'Od Yom. Unless there's enough time for it to soak while it is still daytime. I mean, you can put it in on Erev Shabbos as long as it's done before Shabbos. You can leave it in for Shabbos, but the main issues of the soaking needs to be done by time Shabbos starts. Beisil Matir. Beisil says that it is okay. Similarly, Beis Shammai says a nosin unin shel pishtan l'soch hatamer. We cannot place flax bundles in an oven. That was part of the flax development process. El kadesh yibilu yod yom, unless it's going to be heated while it's still daytime. Nor can you put the wool into the dye, El Kadesh Yiklud Ha'ayin, until it can absorb the color while it's still day. And he still said it's okay. And finally, the third one is probably the easiest. Ein Porsin Mitsudos Chayav Ofus Bedugin. You cannot set up traps. You can't set up tracks for animals, birds, or fish. El Kadesh Yitzodu Mivo'od Yom. Unless you're able to trap it while it's still day. Unless there's still time for the dog. No, not the dog. Whatever other type of animal you would be trapping should be taken care of during the day. But Beis Hillel says that is okay. So what is the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So it sounds like with all of these, Beis Shammai is saying, if the malacha is going to happen on Shabbos, it is not allowed. And Beis Hillel, however, seems to be saying that no. Even if malacha will be taking place over the course of Shabbos, that is permitted. That sounds like that is machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It's referred to in the Gemara as Shvitas Kalim. Is there a requirement to have your Kalim rest over Shabbos? You know that you have to rest, you know, your animals have to rest, your servants have to rest. Does your Kalim have to rest? So that sounds like it's a machlokas here, dispute here. Beis Shammai says yes, Beis Hillel says no. We have machlokas Beis Shammai, so we pass them like Beis Hillel. So we pass them like Beis Hillel. So there's nothing wrong with having your kelim doing malacha over the course of Shabbos.
Now, the opinion of Beis Shammai is as long as it's set up in such a way that it could happen while it was still before Shabbos, and then if it happened to stay, then
well, the only one
Beis Shammai would have a problem if you set it up 2 minutes
right,
before Shabbos.
Yeah, but that's applicable really only to the last one. The first few. The first ones, the ones having to do with dying or anything, that actually is being done. That's actually happening before Shabbos. You're right, there is a difference. That's actually the quotes from the Ron here.
The idea is that the vast majority of the dying is done before you go into Shabbos.
Well, the shirt is already dyed. It's considered halachically dyed. Now, how do you know when it's halachically dyed? I mean, can you add, is there such a thing as dying? Dying after dying, but is there such a thing as doing this coloring after coloring? Can it be colored more? Is that still a malacha on Shabbos? So I would assume not. I assume that their shirt is dyed at a level of the rice on the building level. It's once it's a color, it's a color. Even if it might get darker or deeper or something, that might not be a malacha on Shabbos. But here it's being taken care of before Shabbos. Shammai says that with regards to the trapping is always a difficult malacha. If I set a trap now. Right, trapping is one of the malachos on Shabbos. So I set a trap on Shabbos morning, then it catches in the afternoon. So if I violated the malacha of trapping, so probably yes, right? That is the malacha of trapping.
You said you set it on Shabbos morning.
I set it on Shabbos morning and catches at Shabbos afternoon. So that's the malacha of trapping, even though it's an extended period. What if I set it this Shabbos and I catch it next Shabbos?
Right. What if you said on Friday and something gets
so that's this malacha. That's what this just said. So Shammai said that that's a well. Okay. So the idea of catching it, that's a muksa issue. That's what the can I use it on Shabbos or not Shabbos? Certainly, I could use it after Shabbos. Right. So Shammai says that that's still a problem. If I didn't set the time, if I didn't have enough time, if it was only going to be able to catch on Shabbos, it's a problem according to Shammai. But he still says that's okay. That's okay. I can set the trap 2 minutes before Shabbos, and it's going to. Even though the thing's going to be caught on Shabbos, I could even use it on not on Shabbos, but I could use it after Shabbos. Right? That's from this Mishnah. So it sounds like the Sil is saying, okay, you can have malachos happen with your vessels over the course of Shabbos. Yeah.
So is the trapping itself muksa, or is it the trap that's muksa, or both?
Well, if I set a trap on Shabbos.
No, I'm saying
it doesn't
Shabbos.
Catch anything.
I'm saying before Shabbos.
So that's this dispute here. Are you using muksa in the you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos because that's muksa, or are you using the technical term muksa?
Well, for example, say you set a mouse trap.
Yes.
And all of a sudden your cat gets in the trap.
Yes.
Are you allowed to save the cat? I mean, is it a...
Well, 1 second. There's no malacha of untrapping on Shabbos. There's malacha only of trapping.
Well, I mean, saying the trap itself is not muksa. You're just releasing.
Well, in this case, there's a concept of tzar bali chayim, and that permits various has various permissibilities. So, a cat being caught in a mouse trap on Shabbos would be permissible to let the
freedom cat.
to free the cat. Yes. Hashtag free the cat. Okay. So the Gemara comes along. It gives a couple of more examples of this. It quotes a brisa that gives a few more examples. First one actually is interesting. This is very applicable in Phoenix, having to do with letting the water start before Shabbos and flood your grass over Shabbos. That's how we used to water our lawns in Phoenix. That you just flood your lawn 5 inches deep, and that could come at any point. So that was an issue. Can you let it happen before Shabbos? I think we've spoken about that in the past. Or even if we didn't, we're not talking about it now. But it gives a couple of other examples of things you could do. But then it gives an example of something that you can't do. And what's the thing that you can't do? It says, Aval ein nosin chitin l'toch harichayim shamayim el b'chtei she'idchan mi'ba'od yom. You can't put the grains into the mill on Shabbos, into the water mill on Shabbos, unless all the grains are going to be crushed while it's still daytime. Unless all the grains are going to be crushed before Shabbos. Okay? That's what the Braisa says. That's the law. The law is that for some reason, despite the fact that we're allowed to have our vessels doing malachas for us on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to do this thing with the grain. So why is this thing with the grain?
The water mill won't ever shut off. That's the thing. Because the water's always flowing.
The water mill... Grain number two, yeah. The water mill will not shut off. Okay. That should hurt us. That shouldn't help us. I mean, that should help us, not hurt us. This is hurting us. The mill's the usser exception.
Right. I'm just saying that I can see how you could be grinding on Shabbos if you fill it too full, say.
It would continue
to grind.
Right, but the water with the dye in it would continue to die.
Right, right.
I need a better verb than die. Yes, he'll continue to do that over the course of Shabbos. So this is also continuing to work over the course of Shabbos.
Right.
For some reason, this is different. So why is this different? So the Gemara has a dispute about why it's different. So Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Bifnei Shemashmas Kol. Because these, as opposed to the other things which are silent, this one makes noise. The grinding of the grains apparently makes noise. And that's why it's Asar on Shabbos. There's some kind of problem with that. That's why it's the exception to the rule. So you're allowed to have all of your things functioning over the course of Shabbos, unless it makes noise. If it makes noise, that's a problem. Why is that a problem? So we'll get to it a little bit later. So either because that's just a rule, that's a problem, or probably the way that we pass it is some kind of marzain. Some kind of, if you're making noise, then someone walks by, oh, that's a little weird, why is it making noise? So for that reason, things that make noise are then problematic. Maybe if you're familiar, if you have second day... Israeli staying in your house over the course of second day of Yantif, the Mashmas Kol issue comes up, right? And then Amar Le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, however, answers, Le Mamar Mishum Shvitas Kalim. So Rav Yosef suggests, well, why don't you just say it's a problem of Shvitas Kalim? That the reason why you're not allowed to do this is because your Kalim aren't allowed to do work over the course of Shabbos. Now, that's a little odd. That's Bishamai's Shita. That's not Bishamai's Shita. Right? That should be. So Gemara comes to the conclusion that, right, that's Bishamai Shita. Now, why is that Bishamai Shita, not the other examples that are given in the Brisa? Right? So that Gemara spends a lot of time trying to work that out. But bottom line, what it sounds like, the way that it was assumed the psak of this Gemara was for, we'll say about 1,500 years, 1,500 years minus about 50 during that interim, about 800 years, then about 50 minus 50, then another 800 years, is that, well, Rabba's opinion is Mashma's Kol. Rav Yosef's issue is that we paskin like that idea is according to Beis Shammai, and we don't paskin like Beis Shammai. So therefore, it's mutter. Even putting the grains into the water mill, that would also be mutter on Shabbos, permissible on Shabbos according to Rav Yosef, because we paskin like Beis Hillel. So all we're left with is, oh, do we paskin like Rabba or do we paskin like Rav Yosef? That's a question that's out there. That actually ends up being a dispute amongst the Rishonim how we paskin, but that seems to be the simple understanding of this Gemara. According to Rabba, it would be a problem to set a timer on something that makes noise. So right away, if you've knocked out the television thing, you don't have to worry about Shabbos stick, just the fact that it makes noise, that's already a problem. However, according to Rav Yosef, no, that's okay. According to Rav Yosef, he says that no, anything on a timer, it's okay. You're going to tell me this thing with the thing? Oh, that's only according to Bisham. All right, so the reason I gave this little string that was the way we assumed the Gemara for 800 years, then a break of 50, another 800 years, is because of this piece from Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter has a piece in the Daf HaKashrus from the OU, where he discusses the issue of Lishloach. Anyone know what that second word is? Pei Kuf Samach? Fax, right? Can I send a fax on Erev Shabbos to a place where it's already Shabbos? Can I send the fax to Israel? Now, sending a fax, I know what a fax machine is, don't worry. Sending a fax contains several malachas, right? I'm sending something that will then do real writing, and that is a real malacha of writing over the course of on Shabbos. So I'm setting up a malacha to happen in Shabbos, on Shabbos, from a place where it's not. So that's similar to a timer. I mean, as opposed to me setting a timer for something that's going to happen tomorrow, I'm setting something now that will happen someplace else where it's Shabbos right now. But it's essentially a similar issue to a timer. Maybe you can make some distinctions, but it's pretty much the same thing. So yesh makom lahachmer. So Shechter says there's reason to be machmer on this. Now, fax machine. Now is one thing. Fax machines make a ton of noise. Is that right? So apparently he wasn't concerned about that noise. He's only concerned about the malach itself. Somehow you can turn the volume down on that strange noise that for some reason fax machines have to make. So yesh makom lahachmer. So there's room to be machmer. Why? Kavur b'sifro shel Professor Zev Leiv. So it comes up in Professor Lave's book. Why? The Hayyim Besof Perak Aleph to Shabbos Nechel Kubi Shabbos Hilly Mutter LaHaskil Malacha Be'er Shabbos Shiyam Shichel Tocha Shabbos. That there is this dispute in the end of the first parak of Masechta Shabbos whether you're allowed to begin Malacha on Erev Shabbos that will continue into Shabbos, and we paskin that it's mutter, right? Like we paskin like we still. So far, that's what we've learned so far. V'yesh makom lomar, however, da'afil le'beis hillel usher l'sader be'erev Shabbos shamalacha taschil be'emtza Shabbos. That maybe even Beis Hillel would say, though, that it's usher, maybe Reisil would say you're allowed to start something on Shabbos that would continue on Shabbos. But what are you not allowed to do? Maybe you're not allowed to set something up that will start on Shabbos. Right? Can I start something now that will then begin on Shabbos? Reisil never said that. He only said you're allowed to allow something to continue to soak. He never said you're allowed to start something. So this they argued about 80 years ago. Most agreed lahakel. Just like Yisil said that you're allowed to soak something starting from Erev Shabbos, he also said you're allowed to make it so that something will be soaking over the course of Shabbos. The alpize yishlam shone Shabbos hamadlikim neiros hashmalus be'emsa Shabbos. Based on that, that's why we have Shabbos clocks that we set a time that it's going to turn on in the middle of Shabbos. Right? That as opposed to the dying where something is continuous, the light is new. The light is starting in the middle of Shabbos. Achin. So they printed the commentary of the Rambam to Masechta Shabbos. Now that's very interesting. If you ask people what did the Rambam write, they'll say the Mishnah Torah, the Mor Mevuchim, the Perish HaMishnayis, commentary of Mishnayis, and a bunch of other letters that show up every once in a while. Sefer HaMitzvos is like combined with the Mishnah Torah, but yeah, those are the things. All of a sudden there's this Perish on the Gemara. Now that it, there exists random pages that the Rambam had on various Masechtos. There are a couple of things just here and there that the Rambam wrote as a Perush to the Gemara. He even makes reference in a letter to the fact that he's working on a Perush to the entire Gemara. It just never happened, or never was published. It never went on Amazon. But these pages existed, and apparently they went and tracked down one of the Genizos, I'm not sure if it was the Cairo Geniza or not, but they found in one of these places a Perush of the Rambam on the Gemara. And in this Rambam's Perush of the Gemara, how did he interpret this machlokus between Rava and Rav Yosef? He said, Rava holds the issue as Hashmas Kol. And what did Rav Yosef held? Rav Yosef held that the problem is that you're starting the Malacha on Shabbos. Because what's the difference between a thing dying over the course of Shabbos versus the kernels that are going to be crushed over the course of Shabbos? Because the wool dying, the process starts before Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. The kernels being crushed, some kernels get crushed before Shabbos and some kernels get crushed on Shabbos. So maybe that's the problem that we have in the Gemara, and that's the Rambam's interpretation. And because the Rambam held that way, so now you have a Rishon holding that way. So says Rav Shechter, maybe we should be machmir like that Rambam. Maybe we should be machmir like that manuscript. That's why I said that's the way we assumed it for 80 years. All of a sudden you have the Rambam, and then the Rambam was lost, and now all of a sudden we find this commentary. So maybe the Rambam should hold that way. So maybe we should be machmir that way. Now most people said that, well, you know, we've already had the heter, so we're just going to keep the heter going. But yet in Rav Moshe Sefer, now we're going to see Rav Moshe had some major problem with timers. He just could not accept that it would be permissible to use timers on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe said that no, b'chumra negdi shtamshus b'shon Shabbos. He said you shouldn't use these. Shelo l'sader shetas. He uses this argument. Now he uses it a little bit differently. We'll see in a second. He uses it a little bit differently, but he says that, yeah, he makes that distinction. That to start something over the course of Shabbos, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, is a problem, and therefore Rav Shechter said as well that he thinks that it should be a problem. And then Rav Shechter goes on to say, and even lights, he says it used to be in the old days that people used to put their Shabbos clocks, their lights on timers because they needed to save money or whatever. He said, but nowadays, what's the problem? Just leave a light on for all the Shabbos, what's the big deal? It's not really detracting from your Shabbos, unless it does, but it's not really detracting from your Shabbos, so just keep it on over the course of Shabbos in order to be machmir for this sheet of the Rambam. And I heard a recording where he said that Rav Shechter holds the Maisel. The Maisel, he says that you should just leave your lights on over the course of Shabbos. He adds in that this person, Rabbi Danny Stein, has a shiur on this topic. So he points out, he said, however, in the name of Rav Shachter, they felt air conditioning, for those people that still have air conditioners on timers, that already costs a lot of money to maintain, and therefore that's that perhaps is a tzorach that you can use a timer on the air conditioner. But he holds that you shouldn't use timers on lights. There is, I once heard, in the name of Rav Pam, that Rav Pam said that we have all these, that the idea of Shabbos, the idea of lighting Shabbos candles is to increase light in the house over the course of Shabbos, so we shouldn't set timers that decreases the light over the course of Shabbos. The other, one exception that Rav Shachter does have, though, is if you have a timer in a room where people go to sleep. But if you have, so if that's the case, then it's a tzorach oneg Shabbos, and therefore it's okay. But just to have it turn off over the course of Shabbos, he didn't feel was appropriate.
Shachter also the institutions. Like,
yeah, so he would. So how much money are you really saving?
So I would guess a lot.
You think I'll
add it up over the whole year?
Okay, so you have to figure out what it is, and is that really considered a tzorach? And different shuls will consider a different tzorach for different things. But I mean, that's the rule. The rule is if it's really a tzorach, then you can have the right to be meikel, but if it's not such a tzorach, you can't. You shouldn't be. Rav Shachter used to say when he was, he grew up here in Philadelphia, as you pointed out, he grew up north of, I think what's called now Liberty, Northern Liberties. I think that's where he, his father had a shul there, and then he went to Beth Jacob, also went to public school over the course of his career, and then he went to, then he went to Salanter, what became SAR. So before his father could move to the Bronx, where he became a rabbi later on, he stayed by his grandparents for a year. So he commented that when he stayed at his grandparents' house, they didn't turn on the electric lights on Shabbos. They lit their Shabbos candles, and that was it. When the Shabbos candles went out, it was dark, and everyone went to sleep. Just the way it was. Who could afford to keep their lights on over all of Shabbos? That's what he said. So he said it used to be during the time of the Gemara that you could walk down the street and you could figure out who was from and who was at Stuki, because the Tzukim didn't use lights. So the Frum people had their lights on, and the Tzukim didn't have their lights on. He says, when I was growing up, it switched, that the Frum people are the ones who had their lights, who had their houses dark, and all the not Frum people, they're the ones who had their lights on. That's how you made the difference. Okay. Yes?
I just had a question about this. It seems to me that if the crushing of the kernels is continuing on Shabbos, so is the dying of some of the fibers.
No, but as opposed to the fibers are soaking, becoming more and more blue over the course of Shabbos.
All the fibers
the process began, right. The kernels are, some kernels are, some kernels aren't.
You're crushing individual kernels.
Yeah, we're also dying individual fibers, but you may not
you're dying it all at once.
Yeah, hopefully you'll get some blue in the pink. The other question I have is this all, maybe I missed it, is this all the rice that we're talking about here, or is this
So Shvitas Kelim, whether it is even if the issue is Shvitas Kelim, I don't think even Beis Shammai holds that. I saw that discussion. I forgot what the conclusion was. That discussion, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So going back to this timer, your clothes dryer has a timer when you set it. So say it's just before Shabbos and you finish the wash and you realize whatever it is, 5-10 minutes before Shabbos. Can you put your clothes in the dryer, set the timer, and it's going to continue on and turn off itself?
Right, so that's, the malacha is not starting, so that seems like that's what Beis Hillel would allow, except for the fact that it's mashmiya kol, that it makes noise. So because it makes noise...
Unless it's a quiet dryer.
Right? How do you quantify that? Is an issue.
Is it noise because you might turn it off?
No, it makes noise. Mashmiya's call is a problem. So
if you're hearing noise, you might want to turn it off.
We said the reason before. We said the reason because of RSI, because people think that it's...
Right, because also, even if it doesn't make a noise, the exhaust comes out of your house.
Right. Okay, so that seems to be okay. I mean, you talked about... The noise is... We made the distinction noise versus not noise. Remember, the Bryce said it's okay to flood your lawn before Shabbos and allow that to continue in over the course of Shabbos. So it's not just about, what do people see? It's just that's just the rule that was made. Okay, so Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he is very much against these things. We talked about a little bit in the first year. We quoted the first paragraph where he said that a very interesting statement where he says if we allow these timers, then all the factories are going to be allowed to stay open over the course of Shabbos, and that's a great zilzal. And he says, and it must be that if the Tanaim and a Morayim were alive today, if it was the time of the Gemara, they would for sure asser this, just as they assered Amir la'akum. the prohibitions of asking a non-Jew to work for you, and he continues on and says, he says, it could be that this even is a mira l'akum, right? It could be included in that prohibition. Anything that to use a timer, just as right, mira l'akum, telling a non-Jew to do something, even applies before Shabbos. I'm not allowed to tell a non-Jew, I'm not allowed to give the non-Jew a list of things to do over the course of Shabbos, before Shabbos. So he says the same thing, right? You're creating a situation where malacha is going to be done over the course of Shabbos, so it could be that that's a problem. It says it's not like putting food onto a fire, because there, it's clear you're continuing that was done. You're continuing a malacha that already started. Your part of the malacha was already done. It's just continuing on to be cooked over the course of Shabbos, similar to the traps, etc. Now he actually says, and this is worse than the chitin. As opposed to Rav Shechter, who said that maybe having something turning on over the course of Shabbos is the same as the grains. Moshe's assumption is that the grains are okay. I mean, we paskin perhaps either like one of those two opinions, meaning the ikar adin, the grains are okay. But, he says, but this is worse. I mean, as opposed to the grains where you put it into a place where the malacha is going to happen to it, even if it already wasn't done yet, electricity is starting from scratch on Shabbos. And therefore he says, Rav Moshe says, that having a Shabbos clock is worse than the grains, and therefore should be also for that reason. That's what Rav Shechter was alluding to. But as opposed to saying that, oh, that's pshat in the Gemara, Rav Moshe is saying that's worse than the Gemara. That's somehow different than the grains. Yeah.
So a clock goes around and there's electricity making it go around. So
yeah, why should it be worse?
Yeah, because you're just sort of like, it's like you're opening the gate and closing
right.
the gate.
Right, so it's a good question. I think it's hard to say what exactly should be that distinction. Roshah says that there's a distinction. I think he said that it, I think he just felt it, you can't allow this. And said that. Well, it is a little hard to defend. He says some other things, it's a little hard to defend on this, about why it really is a problem, but he just held it.
So somehow I heard of, a long time ago, and I never read it inside, that Rav Moshe permitted the use of timers for light.
Yes,
nothing.
That's the next paragraph. It's the next paragraph on the page, in the tshuva it's two paragraphs.
Well, just wondering, he says it's not permitted.
Yes, he says lights, however, the minimum always was to use lights. That's what he says there at the end. So, Kulpani Mashikfar Nagu Lahamida Day Mora Shows Lachavus Haner Del Electri, the Shodlekas, the Gamshi Yisu Lahadak Achrach, the Sofayom, that people already are using these timers to have lights go on and off. Ain less from the Achrach Del Chavu Haner Shom, Nurutak Dosh, Nikru Balaz Lampin, Shahayu the Ish Mamish Nagu Bukhom. That the minhag in Europe was already to have non-Jews turning on and off the candles in shuls, and there's this whole discussion about turning it on for Ne'ilah before, and they have non-Jews come and light the candles before Ne'ilah and Yom Kippur. Why should that be okay? It really shouldn't be okay. So there's ways of defending it, there are ways of uncomfortably defending it, but nevertheless Rav Moshe points out that that was the minhag, so he allows it for lights, but he doesn't allow it for anything else. You're right, Rav Shechter was saying you shouldn't use it for lights, and maybe you could do it for other things, but yeah, that's where Rav Moshe says that these things for lights, it's okay. That already is established as being the minhag.
Tell me, Gentile, does that come from you're not allowed to have to tell your servants what to do, or is that something different?
No, it's a separate gezeirah. You're not telling your servants what to do is in the Torah.
Right.
Mira l'akum is, there's several reasons why it might be a problem. It's a machlok, as we've shown, and why it should be a problem. So Rav Moshe is saying that this is the reason. The reason is because you can't have things happen on Shabbos. Or possibly, he's suggesting that is one of the reasons. Okay, so that is so. So those are the real machmirim. Both of them, the idea of said, both of them are really not accepted l'maisa. Practically speaking, both are interesting, but however, practically, the minhag is to use all these timers. Those that are the big Rav Shechter machmirim should be machmer like him, but otherwise, I guess the big Rav Moshe people should be machmer like that. But the general established reason, understanding is not to paskin that way. And based on the following, how do we paskin Shulchan Aruch? So in Shulchan Aruch, it paskins like umutter lases chitim l'tochri chayim shalmayim samchul chashecha, that it's permissible to put the grains into the mill of water close to dark. I mean, even though you know that it's not going to be ground before Shabbos, you're allowed to do it. We pass on it. How is he reading the Gemara? How is Rav Yosef Kaur reading the Gemara? So he's reading it that saying, Rava says Mashmiya Kol, Rav Yosef says because of the problem of Shvitas Kalim. We don't paskin like the Shvitas Kalim issue. Therefore, Rav Yosef is really saying it's permissible. We have Machlokas, a dispute between Rav and Rav Yosef. We paskin like Rav Yosef. Therefore, it's all mutter. And he doesn't have any limitations. That's Rav Yosef Karo. For Sfardim, it sounds like setting any timers for anything should be okay. Comes there, at least in Sfardi land. I mean, it could be that there's an issue if you're doing it in Ashkenazi land, but in Sfardi land should be okay. Comes the Ramah and says, he says, however, we're not concerned about Hashmas Kol. He says, we're not concerned about Rabba's reason. People are going to say that such and such a guy that at the Shmerel's mill is running on Shabbos. Right? So he's clearly aligning with the Marasayan reason. Right? The concern is Marasayan. However, however, there are those that prohibit the mill, and any place where there is noise. And then he quotes a whole host of people that say that. He says, "V'hachi nalg l'chachila," and therefore that's the way that we should act. L'chachila miu b'makum pseida yesh l'hakel. So he says that l'chachila, anything that makes noise, we shouldn't run a Shabbos clock on, unless in makum pseida, in the case of loss, it would be permissible. And then he says at the end here, you're allowed to leave your grandfather clock over the course of Shabbos, even though the grandfather clock goes off every hour and makes a noise. That's okay. So why is that okay? So Rob, presumably it's okay because...
It winds.
At least, right, because everybody knows that grandfather, it ran before Shabbos, you didn't sit on Shabbos, and therefore it should be okay. So Rob is really giving two distinctions. He's saying, number one, if it makes noise, it's a problem. If it doesn't make noise, it sounds like it's okay. And then the second distinction he's making is, oh, and if it makes noise, but everybody knows that it's something that you do before Shabbos, so that should be okay. So what about an alarm clock? So is it okay to set an alarm clock over the course of Shabbos?
Well, you can't turn it off.
You said, I don't want to give away the answer, but I have on my phone. I think I just might have stopped
Shabbos
the.
Alarm.
That's right. I have the Shabbos alarm clock. The Shabbos alarm clock, where it sets only for 30 seconds. So or 20 seconds.
You should be able to use it.
Well, why would you say yes?
Because my son uses it.
Okay. And because I just saw that you have the Shabbos alarm app on your phone, so obviously it's okay. But why should it be okay? Isn't it making noise? So one could say, well, it's okay, because it's like the grandfather clock. The grandfather clock makes noise on the hour, so your alarm clock makes noise at whatever time in the morning you want it to make noise at, and therefore it's okay. The problem, perhaps, is that when do you set your alarm for the next morning?
Before.
The night before. The night before. The night before, like in the middle of the afternoon, or the night before you go to sleep?
Before you go to sleep.
Right, before you go to sleep.
When it's really night.
When it's already Shabbos.
Normally.
Right, normally, when is the alarm clock set? It's set the night before. It's set, even though everybody knows you didn't set your alarm clock to go off in the morning, because otherwise you wouldn't need an alarm clock, right? but when do you normally set an alarm clock? You normally set it the night before.
But you set it up, and then it's good forever. You could do it on Sunday, too.
You do.
You could.
I have to set my alarm. I can't. You know, I'm not going to sleep assuming that 3 days ago.
You can just hit the sleep button in the morning and then go off.
I mean, you always got to get up at the same time. No, so if you set it once, then that's it forever.
In theory, but, you know.
You might get up later.
It's almost set just Monday through Friday instead of
Monday.
That's true. Yes.
Typical days that I have to be at the hospital very early.
Mm-hmm.
My alarm clock is at a different time.
And you factor in Rosh Chodesh and stuff. I think most people do take at least a look at their alarm before they go to sleep the night before. But anyway, so is that a problem then? So that become a problem. So that's a little bit of a detail. I think he does say even the Ramah says Malkum Seida Yesh Lahakel. For some of us whose job relies on them being at shul at a certain time, so.
Rely on the congregants coming too, so don't they need to be getting up and coming?
Yeah, so you could also say b'makom mitzvah. These things are I think that, and you could also say, it's true that most people said the night before, but everyone sets it before. So just because you're saying what's the difference between saying it 8 hours before or 15 hours before? If saying it before Shabbos should be okay, I think most people are lenient and allow. Even though Rav Schechter has in a safe for a different reason that he says you shouldn't be using alarm clocks on Shabbos, I think most are make a lot of alarm clocks. Yeah.
Well, this concept of Mashmas Kol, So that doesn't just apply to things that are put on a timer. It would be any implement that's plugged in on Shabbos or is being used on Shabbos.
Or blown on Shabbos.
Yeah,
or,
of course. So my refrigerator makes noise. Periodically, the compressor comes on and goes off.
Okay.
Right? So I have an urn that has hot water in it, and sometimes it's, you know, it boils or whatever, and it makes noise.
Right. Okay, so a few issues with making noise. So what is, how much noise
what
is noise?
Does that mean?
How much noise is noise? So the way I think Rav Moshe someplace else talks about it as if you can hear it outside the room you're in. That's the best you can do. You know, that's already considered noise. So everyone says, well, alarm clock's not, but the other things are. I don't know. I mean, I used to stay in the NTA dorm or the YU dorm on Shabbos. So you'd wake up in the morning, and on your way to shul, you'd walk by every room, and in every room, you hear the alarm clock going off as though everybody forgot to turn it off before Shabbos. So you're hearing it through the door. So obviously, you can hear most of these alarms outside the room. And on the other hand, some I've seen that, you can't, dishwasher is an issue for another reason, but some say, you can't set a dishwasher on Shabbos because that's not Shmiya Kol. Really? Dishwasher is mashmiya kol more than an alarm clock? So it's quite, I think washing machines and dryers kind of, people say, make noise. I think the urn is not, but anything, an urn is something that's set for a long time. An urn is set for a month at a time often. Well, I guess you have to fill it up with water, but it's set for a long time. So that's like the grandfather clock, and I would then put it also in the category of the alarm clock. So, all right, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is big maker when it comes to the timers. But even having, we'll get to why that is shortly. But even with that, he does talk about a microphone. Can I set a microphone on a timer? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, no. Why is that? Because microphones are generally things that you turn on right before. I mean, that's different than, even though I'll say, well, I set it on a timer, and obviously if I'm doing it for Shabbos, if I'm doing it for Shabbos, I set it on a timer, so it doesn't work that way. I can't avoid this whole issue by saying, well, obviously if I'm using it on Shabbos, if I walk by the rabbi's house and I heard the dryer going, obviously he said before Shabbos, so it doesn't work that way. Marasayin doesn't work that way. there are things that are prohibited because of Marasayin, are also because of Marasayin, and
microphone.
It's not reliant on the idea of of Malamin Tzchus. Yes, microphone
is
probably
actual.
Okay, that's true. But
if you're causing
he's even without that, there's a long truth about microphones, but over the course of that discussion, he discusses the idea of putting it on a timer, and this is what he comes up with. He says that would be a problem, even disregarding all of the other issues, because microphones are generally things that are, you flip the switch as you're about to speak, and then you flip it off when you're done speaking. Okay, so that all has to do with setting a timer for something that will be going on during Shabbos. The last couple of sources here have to do with, can I adjust a timer on Shabbos for something that I have a timer go that we permit using a timer? We've come across pretty much everything could be prohibited for some reason or another, but something that you're using a timer for over the course of Shabbos. But I would add a plata. Right? A plata is, I think, if we go through all the different shittos here, I think everyone would be maskim that would be okay. Unless for Moshe says all timers are a problem, plata sounds like that should be okay. It doesn't make any noise, and it's a tzoros mitzvah, and probably if you can't use a timer on a plata, it's probably not safe to use over the course of all of Shabbos anyways. So plata probably fits all of these things. And come to think of it, I think that's the only thing that we use a timer for in our house over the course of Shabbos. Is the plata. So so can I adjust it over the course of Shabbos? I realized that I didn't put it on the right time, something like that. Can I adjust it over the course of Shabbos? So Rav Moshe has two other tshuvos. Luckily, they happen to be in the same volume of Igros Moshe as the first one. He has two other tshuvos, short tshuvos, that are really part of two other things. He just kind of sticks them in where he discusses it. And the one that I put here on the sheet, he comments, that are you a allowed to move the timer on Shabbos. Now, it's interesting. Rav Moshe only permitted timers for light. So, okay, fine. So, for lights, Rav Moshe. Can I adjust my timer over the course of Shabbos? And Rav Moshe says pretty emphatically that Lahaziz es hashon Shabbos. Where is that? That's the second line, that period. Either make it happen earlier or later. That's prohibited. It's as if you're lighting it from the starting point. The Gambiyoto Mistabisha Usar Kshamadik Bitchila Belectri Shahuba Isr Nolad. And on Yotov it should be prohibited as well. Rav Moshe says any adjustment that you make to the timer, it's as if you're setting it to go on at that particular time, or setting it to go off at that particular time, and therefore that's prohibited on Shabbos and on Yotov. On Yotov you're not allowed to light a fire from scratch on Yotov. So he says, same thing, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos or Yotov. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted here in Shmir Shabbos Kehilkosa as going through the various possibilities. So Shmir Shabbos Kehilkosa, he comments here. Well, Shmir Shabbos itself says, "Hayashon mechavim b'od yom lahafsik es zaram hachashma b'shas mesuyemis." So you set the Shabbos clock to stop the electricity at a particular time. Mutter lasos b'shabbos es hadrush. It is permissible to flip the times, or to set the times, so that it will turn off at a later time. I mean, to push off the malacha from happening, sounds like either turning on or off is a problem. But to make it earlier, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that would then be a problem. Similarly, if it's set to turn on things at a particular time, you're allowed to push it off, but not so that it will turn on at an earlier point. So why is that? What's the difference? Because to bring it up earlier, you're turning something on. I mean, it was going to turn on at 2 o'clock, now it's turning on at 1 o'clock. I'm making it so that a malacha is going to happen. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman himself comments here at the bottom that he thinks L'tzorech Chola it's okay. Why is that? Because Rav Shlomo Zalman believes that setting a timer on Shabbos, just setting the timer itself. I mean, let's say I have the timer set, and then I plug in a light on Shabbos into that timer that's already set, and then it's going to turn on 2 hours from now. Have I done a malacha on Shabbos or not? So says Lisa, no.
Because it's mechanical. The timer is mechanical.
Right. What's the halachic terminology for that? Grumma, right? That's Rav Shlomo Zalman says that's grumma, because I didn't because it's not going to turn on now. It's only going to turn on an hour from now. And if it's going to be okay, Rav Salvechik, Rav Shechter, probably there are other Rishonim as well. They assume that it's going to be a problem. They say that that's not grumma, right? If I plug something into a timer on Shabbos, the timer's already set, the timer's already running, that's not considered grumma. Why? Even though it's not going to turn on for another hour or two, why not? So this is from the shiur from 2 weeks ago, because all of the ingredients are there. It's just not going to happen for 2 hours from now. Grumma is when not everything is there yet. So if you're putting in a scenario where it's definitely going to happen, that's what the Ramban says, but or it's just it's going to happen. It's just not happening right now, but all the ingredients are already there. So again, my mesorah is that that probably is worse than grumma. That's beyond grumma. So Shlomo Zalman says it is grumma, and therefore Shlomo Zalman says l'tzorech chola, for the benefit of somebody who is sick, he thinks that it then should be permissible. He thinks it is okay. Grumma is okay in the scenario where a person is sick. Well, I would be hesitant to rely on that psak, even with makom chola.
So you need the breath of wind to change the timer or something like that in order for it to work.
Breath of
like
wind.
Like the candle going out.
So but there's not a certainty that it's going to happen,
right.
Or it's not a certainty of how it's going to happen. Here, it's a certainty it's going to happen. So instead of me setting it to that turning on right now, it's turning on 2 hours from now. But I've done it's the same thing according to Rav Shechter's perspective.
And that's worse than grumma,
right?
Meaning it's not good.
That's a malacha. That is the full McCoy. Yes, that okay. you've done the full McCoy. There is. So what about pushing it off till later? So push it off till later. What's the big deal? It's just being pushed off. I mean, it's going to happen. It's just being pushed off. So it says, Ashir Shabbos Kehalchasa, he thinks that that is mutter. Is there any reason to say that that's a problem? So there is a sefer called Az Nidberu, from Rav Binyamin Zilber. He was a Rav in Bnei Brak, passed away 10 years ago. He comments that there is a Isser in Shabbos of adding oil to a flame, or of subtracting oil from a flame. If you have oil going in a flame, so you can't add oil, that's called havara. That's adding, you know, that's letting the flame go on Shabbos, and removing oil as well is a problem of what's it called, a mechavet. I mean, you're causing something to go out. So he suggests that that would be the same thing here. By me pushing off the malacha happening till later, it's like it's the same thing as me adding oil to the flame. Now you can. You could argue with that and say that no, I disagree, but at least that is, he thinks that in adjusting the timer one way or another, that would be problematic. I'll just add in one more. So the Shmir Shatzka Hilchasa continues on. Even those who say that you are allowed to change the timers, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Chav's not going to be happy. Even those that say that you're allowed to adjust the time, so Rishon Zama is quick to point out that it is depends on your timer and how you're doing it. So, for example, if I got this thing going, so I want to make it so it's going to turn on later, which Rishon Zaman says is okay. So how am I going to do that? I'm going to take this pin out, the green pin out, and I'm going to move it later, right? And then it's going to go back in. So it says Rishon Zaman, wait a second, you've just done, at least according to me, a grulla, according to some other people, malacha d'oraisa.
Once I pulled it out,
how am I allowed to put it back in? So he says the only way you could do it is either if you have the heavy-duty Timex thing where you're flipping these switches up and down. You're not actually, it was already set, you're just adjusting the time. Or
pull the other one out.
What?
You pull the other green one out and put it in afterward.
Right. Right, I would have to pull the other green one out, put it in where I want it, and then pull the other one out. So that would be the only way to do it. There is a discussion.
There's no turning on after turning on. No.
Right.
You do the new one first, and then take out the old one.
Correct, because once you pull the old one out, it will never turn on.
Right.
Right. So you're not pushing it back. You push it back so far that it will never come on. Once you put another one in, it's as if you're now lighting it anew.
And when it's the same as with the red? You have to do that two-step with
so the rest? So you would say, yes, anytime you're pushing something off, if you would have that problem. That problem would exist because you're making, as soon as you pull it out, you're causing that it's never going to happen. And now I'm putting it back in later, but the way it was like this, it was never going to happen. Now I'm putting it back in, so now it is going to happen. So again, that would only, the only possible heter is that I would be comfortable relying, and I would really only rely on Shasa Chakas to move things off to later, based on this Nidberu. I'm uncomfortable touching the timers at all, but there are scenarios where these things have to come up. So
we also have a different kind of timer, which is a wheel. The whole wheel is removable.
Uh-huh.
You can set pins in the wheel.
Oh, right, that's what we have in our dining room.
These are older ones.
Yeah.
But one of the things you can do there is you can just pull the whole wheel out.
Yeah.
And then it will, either if it was on to begin with, it will never go off. And if it was off to begin with, it will never go on.
Right.
You can, of course, not push the wheel back in afterwards. Right. But you can just.
Yeah, so he would say, yes, that would, according to Shri Shabbos, that's okay. According to. It sounds like according to Rosh Hashanah that would possibly be okay. I'm not sure how he holds exactly about that, but according to this Rav Zilber, he would say that's still a problem. I mean, anytime you're manipulating the time of something spent, he would say that's
basically
a problem.
Basically, don't touch the time.
That's my position. Yes.
Is this the most recent Shmuel Shabbos? Because I had heard that he had some. Did shuv on some of the stuff.
This is not the most recent. There's in the last couple, the last 2-3 years has been a. Newer edition that's come out, but this is the standard.
This is on Shabbos.
Yeah.
I had heard that he went back on the Shabbos thing and only relegated it to Yom. But I maybe just something I heard from someone.
So, I don't know. This is the way it's coded like this. The Rebbe B.S. book. I don't think. I don't think anything came out. This came out after Shlomo Zalman passed away. already. So I don't think he changed his mind.
You put the plaka on a timer and then put cooked food on the plaka. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas with a crock pot where you're cooking the food, you can't have it go on later.
Setting it so that it turns on later. Yeah, so we didn't get to that. What the issue is with the bread machine. Why? Well, can I set the bread machine?
Or your coffee maker.
Right.
Or the coffee maker, right? Both of those come up. So,
because now you're cooking it on Shabbos.
Yeah, so I would be hesitant to, even though the Ramah limited to Hashmas Kol being an issue of Mara Zayin, I think that some of these things are probably real Mara Zayin.
Bread makers make a lot of noise in these tortas.
Some do, some don't. I'm not sure they all do, but I think that that's why people would be hesitant to.
A coffee maker doesn't make noise, it makes beautiful music.
That may not be limited.
Yes.
So you mentioned before about the kalim with a vat, with a dye. Now what about your kalim that has the pots on the stove with your soup? That's not resting. That's a different kalim?
I don't understand.
You mentioned before about kalim has to rest.
That was one of the opinions.
Oh, we don't pass it that way.
All right, so that doesn't apply to your pot of soup on your blush.
No. No, that's why, as Rav Moshe even said, and the reason this is different than your pot of soup on your blach is because that's the malacha, your action of the malacha already started. The part that you play a role in with regards to cooking already happened. All right?
And we shouldn't send faxes to places where it's already Shabbos.
Email
might be okay.
Oh, so I wanted to tell you about
they're
that.
They're not going to get it until after Shabbos.
No, you can't like I wanted to, when Gavi was at HaKushal, I wanted to see him dancing down on Shabbos for him, which was 7 hours before my Shabbos.
Yeah.
They turn off the webcams on the firm ones. So you have to go to a Christian site in order to watch the hotel.
Good to know.